Welcome back to the Plant Powered Podcast. Today I've got another very exciting interview with Maddie Maple. So I stumbled across her TikTok and I just thought we look like we should be sisters basically. We've got the same hair, we've got the same kind of business, we both love going to raves, we've got the same lifestyle, and I think we like look the same with our skin tone and stuff. So I was like, oh my god, I've got to get her on. And then I started listening to her podcast over the last 2 weeks, and there's just so much great information. Hers is called Breaking Butterfly, and there's just so many cool things about making friends in your 20s and going to raves and just embodying who you are, and yeah, just so many good things. So did you want to add anything to introduce yourself as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. I mean, guys, TikTok is one of the most incredible and powerful things ever. I truly do feel like it just like brings people together like so deeply and so divinely. Like the amount of friends that I've made, or yeah, people that just pop up on your For You page and you're like, okay, we are supposed to be friends. We were supposed to meet. So I'm like so grateful that you found me there. I'm just happy to be here. Like she said, I'm Maddie Maple. I have a podcast myself, and I am a confidence coach and a business coach. And so I facilitate a lot of group coaching programs and love to just like teach and serve and talk about all of the things that have made me who I am and created this lifestyle. And so I'm really excited and grateful to be here to hopefully, just share some motivation and wisdom and all the things. So thank you for having me.
That's all right. I think social media is actually really good for that, because I went through this weird situation at the start of the year where this chick was telling me how horrible social media is, and everyone's just trying to sell you something and it's all fake, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I've actually made lots of friends off there. Like, I've got friends in America who I stay in touch with. Like, you might not have met them before, but you genuinely care about their life and make new connections, and it's all about your approach to it. If you think it's like this badass thing, then don't go on. But I've actually made heaps of connections and feel so inspired every time I go on there because of the people I follow. Yeah.
It's all about the intention, right? It's all about how you use it. I actually think that that's like one of the really like biggest things that I teach even in my program, is just like how to use social media consciously, because it can be 100% like the Beautiful. Thing that makes your life powerful, or it can completely tear you down. It's all about the intention. So,
yeah, cool. So the first question was how we create more drama and challenges in our life, because subconsciously it's what we want. So I just listened to one of your podcast episodes, and I'm going through this myself with my own coach, because I just had like the whole year has been nonstop drama. I've moved 7 times since December, went through a breakup, had heaps of issues like financially, finding work, just everything has gone wrong. And then I've just been learning. So like I've been working on my mind full time for like the last few weeks. And it's so funny because like even if we think, oh, I just want a smooth ride, our brain is wanting the thing that it's already used to and the life that you're comfortable in, kind of thing. So we're actually creating more bad stuff to happen. So did you want to touch on that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. This is actually like one of my absolute favorite topics to talk about, especially after I read a book called The Big Leap. And if you have like taken any of my programs or ever had actually any conversation with me in general, I have probably brought this book up, because I just like, I'm so fascinated by this concept that, you know, pretty much this book is talking about that, how we have this like emotional set point of where we feel most comfortable. So yeah, if we experienced a lot of chaos growing up, like we all have almost this limit of how good we can feel, how many good things we can experience until it feels so uncomfortable. Yeah, we have to just like bring ourselves back down into that chaos. And, you know, with this, I think the solution truly is just that awareness, that self-awareness of like just noticing that you're doing it, catching it in the moment, you know, when things are going like really, really well, notice when you're getting that thought of like, you know, it's too good to be true. Because you are going to pull yourself back into that chaos, or even just having the self-awareness in general, maybe things aren't going well for you and it is just major chaos. Just even listening to me and Cassie right now and like having that like realization just kind of open up a little bit and just seeing like, oh my gosh, yeah, I'm totally manifesting this or creating this because that is everything that I know. That awareness in and of itself can inspire you to take those little changes where one day you're going to wake up and you're going to say, okay, I know that I'm creating chaos. I know that I'm aware of it. And so in this moment that I'm experiencing right now, I'm just going to choose this instead. And choosing it, knowing that it is going to be uncomfortable, because a lot of times when we feel the discomfort, we feel uncomfortable, our mind says like, don't go there. But actually choose what feels uncomfortable and like lean into that, because that is what's going to stretch that set point, right? It's going to stretch that limit of you know, what you deserve or how good you are willing to feel. But yeah, isn't it just the most fascinating thing? Because if you tell somebody like, oh, you want to be depressed, you want to be sad, you want drama, they're going to look at you like you're absolutely fucking crazy. But we would much rather be comfortable than happy. And that is just the truth. It is just the truth. So you really, you know, one of my biggest teachings is to get uncomfortable get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Because that's the only way you're going to shift that reality for yourself.
It's really hard doing the deep work because it's hard to accept the stuff. And I just had my major like energetic shift, I think only a week ago. And I messaged my coach. I was like, oh my God, all this has just happened. And it's so exciting. But it was actually after our hardest call when she basically told me that like everything is my fault. And I was like, oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. And I was like open enough to deep dive into myself. But I had another session with her yesterday. And even like with financial stuff, like I had a big influx of money coming and I messaged my friend to say like, oh my God, I've got this much money coming. I haven't had that since I bought a car when I was 16, basically. And then my car blew up and like all the mechanic and everything costs more than what I had. So it's like, that's my energetic minimum. It's like what's already in my bank. So like, of course my life creates things to like take it away. And then yeah, I broke my toe, I had to pay for specialists, lost my job because of my foot, and then all this downward spiral. So it's kind of just really made me realize that you have to tune in, but most people won't because it's very hard. But it's very rewarding when you actually do it.
Yeah, and you have to be very, very conscious about it. I mean, I think one of the biggest examples of this is the money thing. Like, I love that you just brought that up, because when I was making – like, I remember when I was making, like, $2,000 a month, it felt like I was, like, just getting by, like, every single time. Like, I just had, like, a little bit of money left over. And then I got to making, like, 20K months. And then for a while there, it was, like, I was still just kind of, like – making it by, like, of course I had a little bit of extra money, but it was like I didn't feel comfortable holding that much, so I was being very like reckless or spontaneous. And so it's like, it doesn't matter how much you're receiving, you want to be at like that set point, that like comfortable feeling. So that's one of the most, I think, interesting metaphors to explain this concept, is like looking at your money. It doesn't matter how much you make or how little, you're always going to kind of like be in the same circumstance. So you really do have to stay like super duper conscious with it. Yeah. And just like allow yourself to feel better. You have to also look at your beliefs of like what are your beliefs about like life and feeling good and bad. Like I heard once somebody said to me that you're always going to feel 50% good emotions and 50% bad emotions, no matter what. So whether you're rich, whether you're poor, you're always going to feel 50% good emotions, 50% bad. I like could not agree less with that statement, because I think that is what is creating your reality. So you have to look at your beliefs of like, like what do you even believe about like how you're experiencing life. Like, do you believe that things can just get better and better and better and better and better?
Mm.
Most people don't. So.
Mm. Cool. I would also like you to touch on moving away from what your family or partner expects you to be, because I liked your episode when you talked about how bad you got bullied at school and how you're in such a depressive state. But yeah, also like, yeah, how to deal with what people around you expect of you.
Yes. Okay. Like more in terms of, okay, I love this question. Okay. Little more specific, like as in how to get past like the opinions that they have of you pretty much and go like a separate way that like from what they think.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what your story is like with your business, but has your partner or your parents or anything ever thought that you should be doing something different, maybe because they didn't understand, or like even your friends or something, or people who you've met from your past and you're just living this life and they think it's maybe weird because it's like unattainable in their eyes or something? Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Like this question for me, I wish I had a story where I was like, you know, yeah, like my parents didn't agree with me, my partner didn't agree, and like I did all this inner work and I like broke past it. Mm. But that actually isn't my story at all, because I always just had this like no fucks given attitude where I think that for some people that approval of family can be really, really strong, right? You really, really want your parents' approval. You really, really want people to like you. But for me, I think I've just always had this deep-rooted belief that like I think it might also be because I'm an Aries and I'm like a little bit selfish and not always selfish in a bad way, but selfish in the way of like, I don't care what you think of me. I care about my happiness. I care about my reality. I care about what I'm doing. And I always had like a really deep, just like knowing of that, I think. I do remember when I first started like my entrepreneurial journey, I do remember my dad saying like a couple comments to me, not because he didn't like believe in me, but he was just like, be careful. Like, I don't think you're going to find a lot of success. And for a lot of people that would kind of like break them, and they would be like, oh, well, if my dad doesn't think I'm going to be successful, then why should I think that I'm going to be successful? But I was just like, it blew right over my head. I was just like, okay. I was like, watch me. I'm going to be successful. A couple months later, I'm like, look at my paycheck. Like, and so I think like for me, you know, I could give all the like tips and tricks of like, this is how you break past your family's and friends' opinions of you kind of like going out of the societal norm. But it's unnecessary. I think that the message to share about it is literally just say fuck it. Like, who cares? Who cares about what anybody thinks?
Yeah.
Because it's you know, if you get people's approval of you, okay, that lasts 15 seconds, you get a little surge of like, oh, they're proud of me. And then what? It's like completely irrelevant. Yeah.
That's a good way to look at it. Yeah. I kind of turn it into like motivation to do better anyway. Like if someone says I can't do something, like when, so I just moved to Gold Coast. So I moved like 9 hours to the city I'm living in now and got out of my relationship, and it was just so messy. I had no work. I moved here with like just enough gas in the car to get to Gold Coast and didn't even have a job organized. And this girl said, if you leave to go there within the next 2 months, you'll fail and have to go back to New Zealand. So it was really hard because sometimes like I'll be struggling so bad. And then I just always wonder, I'm like, oh my God, is she right? Will I fail and have to go back to New Zealand? And I'm like, you have to get those thoughts out of your head and just use it as motivation to be like super successful. And you just have to make it work. It kind of like makes me more determined to do it kind of thing. But yeah, just turn it into motivation to prove them wrong, basically. Yeah.
Well, I just see it 100%, using it as motivation and also seeing it on such a larger scale. Like, I feel like I can see very clearly people's beliefs and how it is playing out in their realities. So it's like, if this person that was saying this to you was like a billionaire and they're living their dream life and they're so happy and they have an incredible relationship. And then they say to you, hey, I don't think that's a really good move. I think that you might fail, have to move back to New Zealand. Like, that's just not a smart choice. Then I would listen. But anybody that is not living the reality that I want to, like, yeah. So she says to you, okay, you might fail and have to go back to New Zealand. What weight does she have? Like, what, in the most loving way possible, like, why would you even consider what she says being truth at all? Just because she's a loved one?
Yeah, it was definitely just doubting myself. But that's when you have to be aware of your subconscious mind, because I started saying her sentences to myself. So I'm like, you have to be aware enough to get it out, basically, and keep your own thoughts in your head. Yeah. The next question was how to take risks and make your dream life a reality. Because I liked your other episode when you talked about all your failed businesses, and then like also how you left your engagement and then moved overseas and then becoming a digital nomad. Because I think people might look at me as well and just think like, wow, I'm so successful, blah blah blah, but I've actually failed so many times as well, and I've already started 4 businesses. But it's like, yeah, failing forward and then learning from it and then starting on the next thing you want to do straight away. But yeah, could you talk a little bit more about your stories and what's got you to where you are, basically?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you look at anybody that is quote unquote successful, all of them have failed a million times and all of them have taken a million risks, and they all turned out very much okay and very much successful. So, like, why wouldn't you be excited to fail and take risks, right? Mm-hmm. If we looked at really successful people and all, like, if you looked at all the successful people and saw that they had very minimal failures, very minimal, took very minimal risks, they played everything the smart way, right? Their story was just, like, very bland. They went step by step by step, A to Z, like, you know, kind of that societal norm path. Then okay, then you can be afraid of failure. Then you can be afraid of risks. But if every single person that has what you want has failed a million times, you should be fucking excited about failing, because you do know that's what it takes, right? And we do put, you know, we give meaning to everything. And I think that the meanings that we give to everything, you know, that's what shapes the reality, right? Because you can look at failure as like, I'm not good enough, or you can look at failure as like, boom, okay, that's one way that didn't work. I'm one step closer to finding what does work. And that's really how you have to look at it. And I think that, you know, the scariest part about taking a risk is thinking about taking the risk. That's it. The hardest part is just getting yourself to do it. Taking the risk or failing is not hard. It's just you making up in your mind, again, making that meaning of like how scary it's going to be and how difficult it's going to be. I will tell you, the biggest risks that I have taken in my life have literally been a piece of fucking cake. It's just when you're sitting at home in your discomfort, being where you don't want to be, thinking about the risks and the failures, that it feels so scary. When you're in it, I mean, it can be exciting. It can be exhilarating. I think that, like, it's kind of like, you know, when you, like, start working out and it's, like, the worst thing in the world and you, like, hate going to the gym and it's just, like, you just don't want to go. But then you start getting those endorphins and then you start seeing progress and then you start, like, just, like, feeling the results of your workouts. Then you get to a point where you're like so excited to go to the gym and sweat and work your ass off and be in pain because you know what's on the other side. And I feel like that's how taking risks has been for me. Once you just get yourself the fuck out of bed, get to the gym, and like you do it a couple times, then you start seeing what outcome comes out of the risks. Then you just want to do more. Like, I'm at a place in my life where I'm like, how can I push myself more? What, like, how can I do something even scarier right now, because you just you know what's going to come out of it. So I think, you know, you have to, you know, the question was, right, how to take risks to make your dream life a reality. I don't think there is a how. It's a just do it and know that like it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. There's not a how. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be uncomfortable. And just do it.
Yeah. When you were like settled in with your relationship and then everything was going well and you had your business, what made you realize that you wanted to pack everything up and then move away?
Loaded question. So for a long time, I wouldn't say a long time. I would say for maybe like about a year and a half, once I started experiencing a little bit of, you know, this spiritual freedom, abundance type lifestyle, I got a couple tastes of it. And I started to, how do I want to express this? I started to feel like there were two parts of me. Like there was this part of me that wanted the relationship and wanted to settle down and absolutely loved the life that I had created. But then it's like there's another human being inside of me that was like screaming at me. And you know, when I was experiencing time alone and traveling and doing all these incredible experiences, this voice at me was just like, this is what you're supposed to be doing. This is what you're supposed to be doing. This is what you're supposed to be doing. And it was so confusing and so conflicting. And I actually kind of battled with that for, about a year and a half of just like trying to quiet this voice that was wanting something different. But I finally, you know, there was a couple moments along the way where I started, you know, it started like getting louder and louder and louder and louder. And I kept quieting it and quieting it and quieting it and saying like, no, this is the path I'm on. This is the path I'm on. And then, you know, a couple events happened where I really did see that, like, you know, mine and my ex-partner's paths were just like not aligned whatsoever. And then I got invited onto this retreat in Costa Rica, which was like 100% my path, my vibe. Like it just felt so in alignment. My soul was just like, yes. And it's almost like my eyes just opened and I couldn't deny it anymore. And I couldn't quiet the voice anymore. And I just like knew what I had to do. So it was a bunch of moments kind of leading up to it where, you know, there was just this voice. I just had this little tiny feeling that I needed to experience what I'm experiencing now. It just took a long time for me to almost get to like the breaking point. So there wasn't like this huge moment where I was like, oh my God. It was just like, all right, I'm finally going to listen to this part of me that needs to experience these things.
Cool. The other thing I would love to hear you talk about was how beauty is just energy, because I've been thinking about that heaps lately too. Like all these women are trying to achieve like a specific body and I don't know, like trying to change themselves all the time. But when you really think about it, no matter what someone looks like, it's more just like literally how they walk and how they feel within themselves, like no matter the body type or shape or how you look or anything. So I'd love you to talk about that a little bit as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you just like hit it right on the nail right then. It really is how you walk and how you talk, right? Because beauty is, well, we get to redefine what beauty is for us, first of all, right? Because if you are just looking at the societal standards of what is beautiful, then yeah, of course we want to change things because we want to, if they're saying this is what beautiful is, and then we don't look like that, then no wonder we want to change things, right? Because we all want to be beautiful. But it's not always realistic to change ourselves to be this made up version of what is beautiful. So yeah, instead of trying to change ourselves, why don't we just change the definition of beautiful? And I think that we are. I think that we slowly are starting to push away from, you know, people telling us what is beautiful and starting to really tap into like different types of beauty, right? And seeing imperfections as beautiful, and not even like imperfections as in like, you know, body fat or scars or acne or like body hair or whatever, not even those kinds of imperfections. I think that like goofiness and like making mistakes and just like being yourself and wearing crazy things, it's all becoming beautiful to us because we're just owning it. And I think the reason that it looks so beautiful to us is because it's giving us permission to be ourselves. And like, there's nothing more powerful and beautiful than just being able to be ourselves. So when we see someone else being a little bit different, right, not being the beauty standard, being themselves, but then being confident in it, it gives us permission to do that as well. And yeah, I just think that is what's beautiful.
Yeah. I think always just remembering that, like, I don't know, just looking at everyone as an individual, because I think so many girls are trying to look like this certain thing, but they forget that, I don't know, like someone would always want their, if they're striving for this body type, someone's actually wanting their body type, and like everyone is just different. And I think confidence comes like in confidence about who you are as well, like what you're doing in your life, how you treat other people, how you show up in the world. So it's can definitely come from within and then reflect on the external as well. So that's also like an important point.
Yeah, I think that like being smart, you know, feeling empowered, being strong, like all of these things that, again, you know, give others permission to just be who they are. That is what emanates so much beauty. But I do also think it's still difficult, right? Like everything that we just said is so, like, it's so inspirational. Like, wow, like so inspirational, so nice. But it's still difficult. Like, I still want to look like the, like Instagram models that I see. And I still get self-conscious about my acne. And I still, you know, love to like dress trendy or just like look a certain way, show up a certain way. You know, sometimes it's a form of expression and I enjoy it. Sometimes, you know, you have to really make sure that you're not crossing that line of, are you doing it for expression? Because it kind of, you know, it feels fun. It feels expressive. It feels enlightening to like dress up in this way. And, you know, I want to put a bunch of makeup on so you can't see my imperfections, because I just want to be that person today. Like, is it expressive and fun for you? Or is it because you don't feel that you're worthy of love without those things? So I don't think that it's wrong necessarily to want to cover your imperfections and be trendy and all of those things, right? We're not just going to sit here and say like, no, don't even try to be beautiful. Just like, don't take care of yourself and you're still beautiful. Like, no, like I think that beauty and, you know, more in like the shallow sense of beauty, it can still be fun and expressive and make you feel confident. You do just have to watch when you start thinking, you know, I'm not beautiful without these things, and really, yeah, tap into that inner energy. But it's still fun to play and I mean, I want to look like a Bratz doll. Like, that's like totally my.
I was just thinking you kind of do look like that actually. Yeah, I think with your hair, because it looks so voluminous, so it's kind of, you're like big. Yeah.
Yeah, I got the lips done, I got the hair. I love that. It makes me feel good about myself. And so that's okay too.
Yeah, that's good. Could I ask, what does freedom mean to you, and how can other people create freedom in their own lives?
The meaning of freedom and how to create it for yourself. I'm just tuning into, I'm tuning into exactly what I want to say, because sometimes when it's like that big broad question of like, what is freedom, right?
Yeah.
You got to really like tap in. And I think that freedom and even just confidence in general, like when I express my definition of confidence in my program Metamorphosis, like I always say confidence is knowing that you can be whoever the fuck you want and know that you can do whatever the fuck you want. And I think that is freedom. Nothing tying you down, not money, not a job, not your beliefs, not people's opinions. Like, full freedom is truly being able to show up in any way that you want to, in all regards, right? And I think right now I think before I was really, really on the journey of finding freedom within who I am as a person, in the sense of, you know, finding freedom in like what I can wear, what I can say, who I can hang out with, what I can post on Instagram. Like, I was very, very self-conscious. And so I was really exploring the freedom of being who I wanted to be. Now in my journey, it is the knowing that I can do whatever the F I want to do, which kind of ties into business and money and making money online and learning how to navigate traveling all over the world and navigating balancing working online versus being on vacation 99% of the time. And I think it's a journey to freedom. And I think freedom also requires balance a little bit too, right? You can't have confidence and freedom without a little bit of discipline, without some hard work. And it's a journey to freedom, asking every single day, like, is there something right now that is holding me back from doing something that I want to do or being somebody that I want to be? And having the strength and the courage to let go of those things is everything, right? And that's really where, you know, when you hear my story about, like, just leaving my whole life, my engagement, my home in LA, like just everything that I had, it was that question of freedom for me of, am I fully experiencing everything that my soul desires to experience right now? And the answer was no. And, you know, freedom doesn't come easily. Like, it was like, yeah, obviously one of the hardest things I've ever had to do, but I'm so devoted to freedom that I am willing to muster up any courage that I need to get anything out of my way, to fully experience what my soul wants to experience in this lifetime.
Yeah. I think to me it means escaping societal norms of what you're supposed to do, kind of thing. Because I think if you write down what would my dream week look like, or what would my dream day look like, what are like all the funnest activities, what would you want to spend your time and energy on, what would you want to work on, like different little projects or different creative things, different things just things you want to do, even different sports. Like, I've wanted to do like boxing for years, but I just haven't done it yet, or even Pilates, or like to start up, or just things to fill your week. And then if you like look at what your week or day looks like right now, then how different is it? Because most people are just doing this other life because that's what you're supposed to do, kind of thing, and they're not necessarily happy. And I've met this guy who helped fix my food truck ages ago, because he was like, oh yeah, like I've such and such about my house. And I was like, what, you own a house? I've got nothing. So you have way more than me. And then it's probably not good for me to say like I have nothing as well, but he was like, yeah, but you're way happier than me. And I was like, oh. And that kind of just stuck with me for ages, kind of thing. So I think, yeah, freedom to me is just looking at, yeah, the life you live versus the life you want. And I definitely think doing vision boards or even drawing pictures and stuff is cool, because when I moved here, because I moved so many times, my vision board was packed away in all these boxes. And then I moved here and then put it up on the wall right by my bed. And then there was actually two photos of this exact, like a house in the forest. And then the other photo was of my business, business idol who I look up to. And it was her kissing her partner in the same forest. Like, it's a few minutes down the road, I think, to get to her holiday home. So I'm literally in the same house in the forest that was on my vision board, and it actually happened, kind of thing. So I think, I've never really done vision boards, but that kind of thing is more powerful than you think. Or even the other day, I was like, oh, okay, I should just draw my dream house, and like just got out a bit of paper, and I suck at drawing, but just drawing it so you can envision it and writing down what kind of animals I wanted and what gardens I wanted and stuff. So it just helps your mind think about that kind of thing, so you're not settling for less than what you want, basically.
Yeah, 100%. I love that perspective that you just brought up, is like freedom also, like I was saying, like freedom takes, you know, the discipline and letting go of things that are not for you, and also knowing what you want, in a sense, because if you don't know what you want, then you are living unconsciously and just like allowing your life to be like, oh, well, I'm just going to do this because everyone else is doing this. But getting very, very clear on, no, this is what I'm desiring, can help you take those steps towards freedom 100%. Mm. So I love that.
Yeah, I saw something else online. I think it was only last night. It said, if you followed your childhood dreams, what would you be doing as a career right now? And I was like, whoa, like when I was a kid, I wanted to be the most famous horse breeder in the world, which I don't want to be a horse breeder anymore. But it's so funny. You'll be like, I want to go to space, or I want to do all these crazy things. But then you just never do because you grow up and then just get a job. So it's just funny about like connecting the dots of when you're a kid, you just think so big and think anything is possible. But when you're an adult, you just like doing what you're supposed to do, kind of thing. So just finding the middle ground, or yeah, making it work for your current dreams and vision now.
Yeah, well, they rip the magic from us. Like I just recorded I just posted a TikTok where I was talking about like the non-negotiables that I want in my next partner. And I think I said something like, he has to believe in magic. Like he has to believe in like the unrealistic. He has to believe that miracles, not miracles, because miracles sound like a coincidence, not miracles, like just believe that like unbelievable things that can't, unbelievable things can happen to you, right? And I got a bunch of comments on that TikTok of people being like, yeah, I was with you until you said magic. Like what? Like people were just kind of like set off that I said magic. They were like, you're crazy, girl, what are you talking about? You have to believe in magic, you fucking weirdo. And it's just, it's sad that we have been, I mean, you even think about the concept of like, you know, when we were kids, a lot of us were like a lot more psychic. Like we could see auras, or we had like imaginary friends, right? We could almost speak to our spirit guides. And
yeah,
like we were so, so, so psychic. And then because our world has been in such a survival mode for so long, like there was no room for the magic in a lot of senses, I think. Well, that's not entirely true. I don't think it was people's priorities. People were just trying to survive. But now in 2022, we do get to bring back the magic, which is coming through. You know, The Secret got popular. People started talking about manifestation. And we started talking about energies and spirituality. And it really is bringing back that element of just incredible, incredible things happening. And it is magical.
I think that's totally possible to find someone who believes in the magic, but I think that's such a good non-negotiable, like thinking anything is possible, and just it's like the state of your mind every day. So that's so sad that they just think it's crazy.
It is sad, but that's why we're doing this work, is to hopefully inspire and educate people on what is truly possible. So
The next thing I wanted to talk about was why messy action is the key to success. And I was editing another YouTube like banner yesterday, and the last two have probably been my best work ever. Like they're so eye-catching and they're just so good. And I actually scrolled down to when I first started, and the old ones were just so blocky, and I thought that was so good at the time and I was so proud of myself. But you can just really see the improvement in it, so that can be applied to anything in your life. Like for me, that was with my graphic design skills, but that can be if you've got a blog, like how your blog posts improve over time, or for me with my podcast or my group nutrition programs that I'm putting out, like every time is better and better. Or even like with an ebook, like I just write it when I'm really clear headed and then basically just read it over and publish. Like I don't spend ages sitting on it or thinking that it's not good enough. I'm like, yep, this is it, and put it out. And the more practice you do something, the better it gets. But I think a lot of people, like even in your case with moving away and stuff, they'd be like, oh, I'm just waiting for the right time, or they won't ask for the job promotion or quit their job to do something they like because it's just not the right time. So I think, like, yeah, it would just be interesting to hear your perspective on making the time right or making your work right no matter how it is, kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that the reason we are so careful, right, and we overthink things and we're waiting for the perfect time and we don't want to, yeah, like put out our content or share our art or whatever it is, the reason why we hold back is it truly is just a form of protection, because we do still have like, we technically still have like a caveman brain. Like our brains have not evolved quick enough to keep up with like our times, like technology and just the whole world, the whole planet is evolving so quickly. And our brain is going to take, I mean, I don't know how long, I'm not a scientist or psychologist, but I would guess that it's going to take hundreds of thousands, if not maybe millions of years to like even just catch up to where we are now. And so we still have this part of our brain that is feeling like, you know, if I do put out that podcast episode and it has imperfections in it, and then people are judging me and they don't accept me, like I'm gonna die pretty much, right? If we're ejected from our tribe and we're cavemen, like we will die. And so it just feels a lot more intense than it really does, right? Like, you know, asking, again, like the example you shared, like asking for the raise, right? Like nothing's gonna happen if you ask, but we feel so much fear inside of us and we feel so much resistance. We feel like we don't want to take that action. We need to make sure it's perfect, it's the right timing. Like we're taking all of these preemptive measures to make sure that we keep ourselves as safe as possible. But we have to remind ourselves it's 2022. We are very much safe. You are not going to die if you ask for a raise and he says no. You're not going to die if you post a podcast episode and nobody listens. You're not going to die if you shoot your shot with the guy across the bar and he totally rejects you. Like there, of course, feeling fear is a natural emotion, but the fear that we feel is not – the reason we have fear is to stop us from doing something. But in this day and age, we don't need that unless you are like – if you're on a hike and you see a bear – and you feel fear, like, okay, that's where fear is doing its job, because you're like, get the fuck away from the bear, right? But in any other place where we're talking about like success and building our dream life, like feeling fear and taking action, right? We want to take action, but we're not, because we're feeling this fear. It's not valid to listen to that fear, because that fear, it's being totally overdramatic. So once you can realize that your fear, unless you're actually in physical danger, but once you can realize that fear is not a signal to run away and that fear is actually a signal to just go for it, I think that is when your whole reality can shift. And yeah, you just take that messy action. There's no reason to protect yourself. And everyone is going to be shitty at what they do at first. I would say that if you want to be successful, let's say that you're trying to get into the online space, like if you want to be successful, like you need to fail 3 times, be rejected 20 times, and post like 50 shitty pieces of content. And then you will find success. I mean, what if I told you that? If I told you you have to fail 10 times, be rejected 20 times, and post 50 pieces of shitty content that people are judging you for, but then you will be a millionaire after you do that. Would you do it? Because that's that's just what it takes, and everybody starts from somewhere. And you're never going to get to a place where you create something that, or take action that is so perfect that you won't get hurt. You just have to accept that you might get hurt and stop protecting yourself.
Yeah. And none of this is to say that you're like me and you don't ever feel fear, because I went to a breathwork session the other week, and then there was this guy there. He seemed like my dream person. He was like a gym guy, but at a spiritual breathwork thing. I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even know that would exist. And I was too scared to ask for his number. And I like went over to talk to him a little bit. I was almost shaking. I was like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, I've got to get his contact details, or like ask him on a date. And I was too scared. And now I'm like, I've just got to wait until I cross paths with him again somewhere, maybe. So I'm like trying to take that as a lesson. Like, you should just ask, even though it's like so scary. But yeah, like, well, they might be too scared to ask as well.
Yeah. Well, you also have to ask yourself, like, why is it scary? Right? Because we tell ourselves, like, oh, it's so scary, it's so scary. Why? Yeah. All right, what if he literally looks at you and is like, no, I'm not interested in you. Okay, cool. People have their preferences. You're not interested. Awesome. On my way. Hope you enjoyed your fucking breath work. Go get an acai bowl. Like, what is there to be scared of? We make it up so big in our head because it's that caveman part of our brain that is like, if I fail, if I'm not accepted, like, I'm going to fucking die. You're not. You're going to be just fine. You're going to survive.
Yeah. Have you ever felt imposter syndrome in the past? And if so, how have you broken out of it?
Yeah. I mean, I think that everybody feels a little bit of imposter syndrome. But I think that, you know, specifically in the coaching space and being a coach, you know, this industry is so different, the personal development industry, because you don't really need any like qualifications, right? You don't really need any certifications. But I also think that people that even do have qualifications and certifications like experience imposter syndrome. But anywho, being in this industry, it is interesting, and you can get that imposter syndrome of like, yeah, what am I doing? And I think that's where like spirituality and like my relationship with the universe, God, spirit, like really comes in, because imposter syndrome is such an ego-based thing, right? Like when you have imposter syndrome, you're making it all about you. All about me, 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 me. What about me? What about me? And I just like to turn it around from me and tell myself, like, if I'm doing my very best and I am being present and I'm giving all my love and serving the best I possibly can, then like that's what matters. That's all I can do. Who cares about, you know, all these little logistics? Again, imposter syndrome is just our brain worrying that somebody is going to call us out or judge us or tell us that we're doing something wrong. And so we're just trying to protect ourselves from that criticism or that judgment. And you just have to stop trying to protect yourself and accept that somebody might think that you are not good enough. But that's where I just totally take the ego out of it, and I come back into service, and I really just tap into, you know, I don't lie about who I am or what I can offer or try to be somebody that I'm not. I'm completely honest and authentic about, this is who I am. This is what I can offer you. This is how I feel about my work. This is how I'm going to show up and support you. And I give it all my love, all my attention. I mean, how can imposter syndrome exist within that? When you're being completely real and authentic and you're not trying to be anybody that you're not, I just don't think imposter syndrome really exists. It's just this ego-based fear to protect us.
Yeah, I think the key is to be sure within yourself, or if you're offering a product or service, like, know that you've done your best and that it works, kind of thing. Because I was going through imposter syndrome not long ago, and I held like an online nutrition program, and then like a few of the people never replied to my emails, and I was like, oh my God, they think the program's shit. It didn't even help their life. Like, I just fail at what I do. Why am I even trying? And I was in a really bad like life situation at that time anyway, which probably didn't help. So then I just thought that I did so bad. And then one of those customers came into the health store that I worked at, and he's like, oh, you're the one who held the program. I loved it so much. I just didn't reply to the emails because I was going through a bad mental health time. So I didn't fill out the journals, but I love the recipes that you were sending, blah, blah, blah. It was so cool. And I would love to do it again in the future. So I was like, oh, just because they didn't reply to the email, it doesn't mean this whole story that I suck. Like, they just didn't reply to the email. So it's just about being sure of yourself and, yeah, like what you have to offer the world and how you're changing people's lives. Cool. The next question was how to get out of depression and fall in love with your life.
Mm-hmm. I mean, these are all such big, broad topics that I feel like we could just dive into for hours. Mm.
Could you talk about, because I listened to one of your podcasts about how, I think it was straight after you finished high school or while you were still at high school, and you just had no motivation to do anything. You didn't like doing anything. You were kind of just existing, basically. So what got you out of that and got you wanting to create this huge life?
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll share my experience with kind of what I remember as being some of the shifting moments. Mm-hmm. I think that I just got so fed up with myself, mm-hmm. and so fed up with identifying with the depression. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times, you know, depression, a lot of these mental illnesses, depression and anxiety, like, for some of us, it does run a lot deeper and can be a lot more like, what do I want to say? Like, I'm trying to be sensitive to it, where some people really do struggle with this on like a very deep level. But for a lot of people, I would say that it is usually just because of our circumstances, because of what's happening outside of us. And then, you know, a lot of our habits and like our eating habits and our sleeping habits and all of the things, right? I look at my past habits where I would just like sit in my room and listen to sad music and scroll on Tumblr and eat McDonald's for every meal and stay up late watching TV. And then I would like identify with being depressed. And then I'd be like, I'm just depressed. I can't do anything. Like, I just wish I was happy. Why can't I be happy? Like, why did I have to be given like depression? Like, why is this happening to me? And I look back now and I'm like, bitch, you're literally eating hot and spices for every meal and looking at just sad shit every day. So I think a lot of it is our habits and things like that. So I really got sucked into this like identity, right? Where I created this reality of, you know, being sad and not having motivation, but then clinging on to that as a form of like cop out in a sense. I like identified so deeply with it that I just created this whole like it just like snowballed into actual depression. And once I got like really, 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 really deep into it and I was not doing well at all, I mean, I think that I just got so fucking fed up with myself. I remember sitting in my room in the basement in so much pain and so much sorrow, like just fucking losing it. And I just like looked in the mirror and I was like, yep, I'm done. Like, I'm actually done with this. And I think it was like 4 or 5 in the morning, and I put on my headphones and I put on a hoodie, and I hate running more than anything in the world. Like, I will not run. Like, in school, like, I will walk the mile and I will be the last person to do the mile because I'm just walking and taking my sweet time. And I put on my headphones, put on a hoodie, went outside, and I just ran. I ran as far as I fucking could. I just ran and I ran and I ran and I ran. And like, that for me was such a pivotal moment because I was like, okay, instead of just sitting here and sulking, I'm going to get up and fucking move my body and do something And it helped me just really express like my emotions, my anger, and just like move things. And so in the mornings, I just started like running. Then I found juicing. And so I really started to take care of my diet. And so, I mean, those were just kind of like the basic starting points of me, like just getting to that rock bottom and realizing that I had created what I was living and just being so fucking sick of myself and choosing I don't want to be this person anymore and taking some like out of the box steps to just say like I'm breaking free pretty much. Like I am breaking free from this. But the second part of that question of like, okay, how do you get out of that and then fall in love with your life? Like there's so much that goes into this that I just don't even feel like I could give like a really, really good answer. Because how do you fall in love with your life? I mean, everybody is at such a different place in their life and are going to need different pieces of advice and inputs and wisdom and steps to fall in love. But I will mention, like, again, just like the freedom thing we talked about, you know, with freedom, it is going to take like letting go of things that are not for you and taking risks and doing the hard, uncomfortable things and being disciplined. And it's the same with falling in love with your life. You know, you're going to have to let go of the things that are not supportive for you and are not in alignment for you. And that can be hard, but I would say follow what feels good and literally run from anything that does not feel good. No matter what your brain says logically or what your heart says, like in your gut, if something feels good, keep it. And if something does not, literally drop it and run from it. And that is your compass.
Yeah. For me, I think it comes down to just like I've never had depression, but I've been through depressive states. And I think that's also an interesting thing is like not identifying as depressed, but I've had months where I've been laying in bed. I was like drinking myself to sleep. I couldn't be bothered with life anymore, but I just told myself, I'm like, it's just a stage. I'm just feeling depressed at this time, but it's not who I am. I think that's one point. And the next one is just to bring it back to basics. Like number one, how often do you get sunlight? So if it's not often, maybe you can go and drink your coffee outside or eat your lunch outside in the sun. Just get warmth on your skin and it really can help lift your mood. And then your diet, because your whole mood is affected by your gut health, like a large part of it. So just eating a range of colorful whole foods or veggies. It's just really simple. And then the other thing for me is just achieving small things often. So for me, it's more creative stuff. Like when I do a new podcast or video, or if I write a new ebook, or for someone that could be painting a new picture or changing something in their garden, like planting a new plant, you can be like, oh, I achieved this thing today, no matter how small, or even cleaning out a room or something. It's like the little achievements of things you can tick off the list that make you feel like you're getting somewhere, no matter how small or what the job is, or teaching your dog a new trick or something like that. So just achieving small things often makes you feel like you're getting progress and like that you're worth it, kind of thing. The next question I wanted to ask about was, what got you into psychedelics and microdosing?
Yes. So I absolutely love psychedelics. It's been such like a powerful part of my journey. It obviously started like the first time I took LSD, like I was not expecting it to. I had no expectations. I didn't know what I was getting myself into, and I didn't know it was going to be such a big part of my journey and just who I am in general. But it was at my very first festival. I went to DOS Energy in Utah, and I remember I took like – I think I just took like half a tab. And so I grew up Mormon. I grew up very religious, and I remember praying to my Heavenly Father for 20 years of my life, asking for guidance and answers and just trying to like make sense of the world. And I felt like I just never got anywhere with it. And once I took acid at my very first festival, I mean, everything shifted for me. I literally had this feeling like all of my prayers that I've ever asked in my whole entire life had been answered. And I felt like I was at home. I felt like I had found myself. I felt like I had found, like, it wasn't like I solved the universe, but it was like I finally found peace with, like, just all this confusion that I had felt for so long. It was just like, oh my God, like relief. Like, this is it. Here I am. Like, so much emotions, so many tears, so much of just finally feeling like I found myself after not being myself for so fucking long. And so obviously, after I went to my first festival, I couldn't stop. And, you know, psychedelics just became a big part of that experience for me, you know. It just became a really big part of my experience, almost really grounding experience where I feel like I'm just like coming back into myself. So then, yeah, I've also started to explore microdosing psilocybin and, you know, using these substances that are so heart opening. It's absolutely changed my life and is one of like my favorite parts of my life. Yeah,
it's so funny because yesterday I talked about some, I don't know, like touchy subjects on my last podcast interview, and I was just driving in the car yesterday and I was like, I don't need to feel weird for talking about anything I want to talk about, because I was like, it's my podcast and I don't have a boss, and this is literally like my thoughts that I have in day-to-day life or week-to-week life, so like I can just talk about anything I want. So I felt more freeing, but like I've never talked to people about this, but the first time I did it was at a festival as well, and I just remember I thought it would be like scary monsters and dragons jumping out of you. And then I just remember, like, you have to be in a safe environment with caring people or just one person, so you're not overwhelmed. Like, really, it's like who you're with as well for any festival experience, no matter what you're doing. But then I just remembered walking through the fields, and before that there was just all this rubbish and mud everywhere because everyone was littering. And then after I took it, I was like, the rubbish, the mud, like people have walked through the land and stuff, and like everything was beautiful. But for me, the biggest thing was that I was brought up to be quite judgmental, I think, like judging anyone who like looks different or dresses different, or especially hippies were like very weird people. And then I don't know, like I was just so judgmental because of what I've been taught. And then after doing that, I just realized that the people who dress the most weird and out of place, they are the nicest, most welcoming people. And I've just found myself going more and more into the spiritual world, like as the years go on, kind of thing. And those are the people who I don't know, who you want to hang out with, because they're more interesting and down to earth and like more real, I guess, or they're truly embodying themselves. And then the other thing is just like with how you feel about yourself, like whenever I do it, to me it's like a massive reset. And I actually sometimes think of my business ideas during it, like I'll do it and then get out like a bit of paper and pen and like brainstorm, because it helps me tap into a new part of my brain. But even with how you feel about yourself, like I'll look at my body when I'm on it and I'm like, wow, I'm so cute and small and my skin is so soft. And I'll like take off my makeup in the mirror and it's like, I don't know, it's like a nice feeling. I'm like, wow, this is my actual skin underneath my makeup. And it's just so crazy to look at yourself like that. And then if you compare it to alcohol, everyone will get drunk. Like I still drink wine and stuff, like I have a few drinks, but people will get drunk and then eat greasy ass food the next day. But after I've been out to a festival, I'll literally have a kombucha or a veggie juice, or make up like a huge veggie soup or a salad or something really nourishing, because it helps you feel more in tune with your body and with how people act as well. Like when everyone's on alcohol, they're, I don't know, like some people are really fun and have a dance, but some people can get aggressive or messy, and it's like a totally different vibe to people who are like at a Buschdorf. I don't know if you've ever been to that, but that's what the whole vibe is like there. And all the girls are like so nice. They're all complimenting your outfit and they're all welcoming. They want to hold your hand and dance together. And it's just like you're way more connected to each other and yourself and the earth. So it's like a huge part of my life as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love to hear like your experience with it. I resonate a lot.
Yeah, it was so different to how I thought, because I thought it was like, yeah, big monsters and scary dragons, but it's like really grounding and really eye-opening. And the last thing I wanted to touch on was, how has going to festivals changed your world and how do you balance business and fun? Because music's like a big part of my life as well. So I'm about to book in all these Buschdorfs coming up for the rest of the year and all these festivals. And that's like a part of who I am. But I think for the average person, they wouldn't do that because it's like you can't have that much fun or something all the time. So how do you balance everything together?
Yeah. I mean, I believe in balance, but I also don't. Like, why can't everything just be fun? That's kind of like, that's where my philosophy does come in of, you know, me really wanting to push the limits of what is realistic and not be realistic and just have fun all the time. And so, yeah, I definitely, you know, I try to balance it as much as I can and be intuitive about it. You know, I think that also with the work that I do, like serving people and creating content and showing up is fun in a lot of ways as well. So it never really has to be like, well, I can't go to this festival unless I get this work done. It's like, no, it's all a part of it, right? It's the more pleasure and the more fun that we can allow in and not feel guilty for it, the more we are going to allow in money and business and clients and all of the things. And so, you know, I will be honest, so I am still navigating a little bit truly finding bits of balance that I do need just to make money so that I can survive. So, you know, when I'm on vacation 99% of the time, like, you know, just making sure that I am doing the things that I need to do and delegating to my team what needs to be delegated. I think that's also just like a journey, you know, and something that I'm still figuring out. But going back to what I was saying at first, it doesn't always have to be this big balance per se. I think that we get to have it all. And I like to just have fun every day, all the time, every second. So I'm a little bit wild.
Yeah.
But going back to the first question of how has going to festivals changed my world. I mean, I don't even know what to say. It changed my whole entire reality. Like the moment I stepped into my first rave and had that experience of tripping for the first time, like it changed my reality because I was able to finally truly find who I was and find peace and authenticity and power and love and connection and experience and feel things that I don't even think 90% of the population will ever feel in their whole entire life. And I didn't even think that it was possible. And it gave me strength. It gave me purpose. And obviously, yeah, now it's like a huge, huge part of my reality. Like I go to festivals all year and work in the festival industry as well as my coaching business. And, it's not even like how has going to festivals changed my world. It's like, it just became my world because it's just who I am. And, I think music festivals is going to change everybody's world here in the near future. It's really going back to our roots, but in a very modern way.
Yeah, because I used to be kind of like a workaholic. Like I left home when I was 16, started my degree when I was 17, so that was 3.5 years. So I was just straight in like work mode. I always had like 3 jobs at a time, and I'd never like take time off to go anywhere. And I also worked in hospitality, so always worked public holidays, weekends, nights. Like I always did shift work, and like just my whole life was work, and I never actually got anywhere trying to work so hard. So then I didn't start like going out until I was like 21 or 22, I think. But when I go away, like even if it's to a gig, like a few hours drive away and spend the weekend there, I do feel so refreshed. And I think of so many ideas for my business and life, even just in the car ride or like mid gig, like while the music's playing, I'll just have like all these aha moments and stuff. So to me, like I always joke with my best friend, she's the one who introduced me to all this. We always joke that like if we ever get married, we'll tell our husbands that we're going on a business trip and then just go away to a rave together. Because you think of so many ideas and it just resets your life or helps you realize things and stuff. So I think also it is possible to have fun every day, because I love heavy bass music and I listen to it like any time of day, and I just blast it in the car. I have so much fun anytime I'm driving. I'll go to the supermarket, because people say like they would never listen to that unless they're out, but I like blast it going to the supermarket and just get so amped up to go get my groceries and stuff, because like why not? Or even if you're cleaning or doing anything, I just want to be like amped up and having a rave like any day of my life kind of thing. So I think, yeah, people think, oh, you can't be doing that unless it's like a special occasion, but it can just become your everyday life as well. Cool. Was there anything else you wanted to touch on, or did you want to tell them about your courses and your offerings as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I just feel so grateful to have had, you know, the opportunity to come on here, and you had such great questions. But yeah, if you want to work with me, obviously we mentioned my podcast at the beginning, which is Breaking Butterfly. I also hang out on TikTok a lot and Instagram, and my handles for those are both Maddie Maple, just M-A-D-I, and then Maple like the syrup. And yeah, I actually am going to be coming out with a brand new program here in the next like 2 weeks. I'm not sure when this episode will be coming out, but it's called Unlock Your Freedom, and it is a 10-week course all about making money online and, you know, finding the confidence to start your own business and be able to work remotely and really live, you know, I think the name of the program speaks for itself, right? Unlock Your Freedom and get out of like the corporate rat race. And I'm going to be just teaching everybody pretty much everything you need to know, from, you know, the mindsets that will make you successful to the actual strategies and business strategies that you need to make money online. So I'm really excited for that. But besides that, I have tons of courses, tons of masterclasses. My signature confidence program will be launched in the next couple months. So I have tons of ways to, just learn from me further, work with me further. And I'm excited to connect with each and every one of you.
Yeah, I love what you're doing. I think it's so important to offer that, and I don't know, just to share your knowledge with people as well. So that's so exciting.
Yeah. Thank you for giving me the space to share that.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everyone. And stay tuned for next week. And I'll put the handles to Maddie's social links in the description as well. So thank you. And I hope you enjoyed.